Blog Talk Radio.
Universal Healer Hour with Gregory, and this is Gregory. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Really glad that you're on the call and that you're listening. This is the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. In a moment, I'll explain to you who each of those, what each of those words represent. But the Light Giver has been a term described down through the ages as an individual with a particular role to shed in some way healing light that opened and emboldens the understanding of those who are within his or her company. And so Jesus was a light giver, Buddha was a light giver, and the many, many archangels that populate the heavens are clearly light givers. But who and what light is being given? The light that's being given is the light of the Creator, also known in some traditions as God. So how is it that a group could call itself, not only call itself the Light Givers, but also would be bold enough to sponsor an hour of conversation, healing, and spiritual wisdom? Well, I want to say to you, dear friends, that none of the people in the Light Givers group or on the Light Givers Board of Directors would dare themselves on their own initiative to undertake a program such as this. Now, how the program came about is that one of the members of the board of directors, namely myself, early on was given a spiritual mission to carry out and develop something called the Universal Healer. And for those of you who haven't heard this story before, I would tell you I was working directly with a spiritual master who was vested and endowed with many of the qualities and abilities that one would associate with a master of some competence. And I was helping him to get his spiritual path organized because I have some administrative background. In fact, I spent 30 years in higher education, most of which was as an administrator. So pushing papers around and organizing groups and creating procedures is naturally a skill that I had. But along the way, I also developed a tremendous interest in energy work and energy healing and developed a very small client base and also was certified as what's called a pranic healing instructor. And for those of you who are familiar with different types of healing, you may have come across pranic healing, and that's one in which the individual as a pranic healer detects where energy is congested in the physical and perhaps emotional and aura of a client, and then begins to make efforts to remove the congestion from the energy field of the individual and to place that congested energy down perhaps into a tub of salt water. And having done that, having experienced that, quite often the clients will feel some relief, and the body, with that congested energy removed then, is able to rapidly more able to heal whatever the concern is that the person has. So the point being, the body has the natural ability to heal itself, and in pranic healing, one is simply removing whatever the congested energy is and replacing it with a little bit of healing energy, but mainly to allow, it's like priming the pump, to allow the body to heal itself. So I had some background experience in that. So this particular master said to me, look, I have two responsibilities I've been given. One is to get the spiritual path going, and the second is to establish a healing order. And he says, I can't do both. You like to do healing? I want you to go ahead and get the healing order going. I said, well, okay, that sounds like fun. And he says, and you will be a universal healer. And I said, I'll be a what? He says, you'll be a universal healer. I said, how am I going to be a universal healer? I don't even know what that is. He says, you'll know what it is when you write the book. And I said, when I write the book, what book? He says, the book is called The Universal Healer. I said, how am I going to write a book about The Universal Healer? He says, the book will be dictated to you. I said, dictated to me? How is that going to happen? How will a book be dictated to me? He says, well, what will happen is you'll sit at your computer with a list of questions that I'll give you, and someone will dictate the answers to those questions. He says, you'll hear that. And I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember some of those early records by Bill Cosby in which he's having a conversation with God, and God says, I want you to build an ark. He says, what's an ark? And God describes it. And Bill's response is, right. Or better yet, it was right. And that was my response when this master said to me, and it'll be dictated to you. I said, yeah, right. So he says, I want you to sit down and just ask inwardly what should be the titles of the chapters of the book. And I said, yeah, okay, I've never done anything like that before, but I will do it this time. So sure enough, I sat down and said, now what should be the titles of the book? And all of a sudden, of the chapters in the book, all of a sudden I got bip, 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 bip. They just came down like that. I typed them out probably in about 90 seconds. I said, well, at least this stuff works so far. Well, sure enough, I went on a bit, and I sat down and I sent him the titles. He said, well, I'll send you the questions chapter by chapter. I said, great. So he sent me the first set of questions, and I looked at them, and my immediate reaction might be the same as yours, or perhaps not. I said, I don't know anything about this stuff. But then I said, well, I'm not supposed to. So I sat down at my handy-dandy little computer, and I typed the question. And just for example, the question might have been something like, what are the 7 ways to scan energy? Now, for those of you, again, who are familiar with pranic healing and perhaps other types of healing like theta healing and therapeutic touch and so forth, is that it is possible for you to ask to feel energy and to place your hand perhaps above the point that you're interested in. For example, if someone has a sore back, you're able to say, I'd like to feel whatever the contamination or sore energy is. And you take your hand and say, put it back behind the person as far back as you can reach. And if you bring it toward them, you will feel perhaps a little pressure at a point against your palm. And that will show you what the congestion energy is like, or the pain energy, as the case might be. So I knew, and then the other way you can do it is you can put your palms across from each other and then ask, please allow me to feel the congested or pain energy that's there. And again, you'll feel pressure against your palms. So I knew at least 2 ways to scan energy. And those are the only 2 ways I knew. So no one could say to me that my subconscious knew the answers to the questions and that the sentences that were coming out of my subconscious. That couldn't be said to me because I only knew 2 ways. And I heard this voice say, there are 7 ways to scan energy. And it went on to say things like, the first way is so-and-so, and the second way is so-and-so, and the third way is so-and-so. So needless to say, dear friends, I was truly amazed, astounded, and flabbergasted to hear such information coming through. And that results in a book that's now on the shop page of the Light Giver International Association website that's 158 pages of that kind of detail that runs across a really interesting range of topics. In fact, I thought I brought the book in here so I could read to you some of the chapter headings. Well, I guess I'll have to do that next time. So nevertheless, believe me, here was this book, 758 pages. Now, you would think that once the book was created, 758 pages of information about healing and about contamination and about traveling in the higher worlds and all this stuff, that I would be walking around with my chest stuck out saying, look at what I have created. Well, friends, I knew all I had done was recorded that information. I had not created anything. In fact, I looked at what was in the book, and my immediate thought was, might be the same as some of yours, can anybody do all this stuff? And then the next thought I had was, well, I'll never be able to do this. It's really amazing. But as it happened, I had already scheduled a trip out to over to West Africa. And I had had a few clients, and most of my healing experience had been with pranic healing, which was very limited in comparison to the things that are in that book. I mean, it talked about being a universal healer and essentially almost saying to people, arise and walk, and clearing up karma. I'm not sure if I'd ever thought about clearing up karma before that point. At that point, I'd always thought that karma was something that you have with you always. And unless you met some great master who took pity on you, you were just sort of stuck with it. And the possibility that it could be removed was the farthest thought from my mind, believe me, by that point. So the book was fairly astounding, but as it happens, I had a trip scheduled to go to Ghana, West Africa, where there was another person who also wanted to be a universal healer and have direct experience. And there, you know, it was kind of like to go to West Africa with my tiny little healing background was kind of like saying, I'd like to learn how to swim. Could somebody take me over and drop me into the Atlantic in the middle of the ocean, you know, where there are currents going in all kinds of directions and sharks and all that stuff. So over in the middle of West Africa, there I was, and there may be people on this call who are from there at this point. So there I was in the middle of West Africa where some of the darkest type of energy is used. And I was lucky enough to work with a man who also had some experience. His name is Kofi Gardy, a dear friend. Had some experience with being confronted by black magic. So he and I, in the middle of all that, had the opportunity to be confronted by the work of black magicians and witch doctors and so forth. So everybody who came in his clinic to see him, he was a doctor of oriental medicine. So you can imagine, if you're in the most Christian country in the world, which is what is true about Ghana, the most Christian country in the world, and someone comes to you, it means that they have been to all the traditional doctors, they've been to all the native doctors, they've been to all the herbalists, and now they're coming to an African, a pure D African, who is skilled in something called oriental medicine. Who ever heard of such? But it means that they were fundamentally desperate. And in every case, when they walked in that office, they were always afflicted in some way or attacked by the work of black magicians. So it was there that I began to see and understand the power of the universal healer work in terms of what he and I had been endowed with energetically that would allow us to resist and repel what was coming to us. But it was not about us personally, because before I went up, this particular master called me up on the telephone and says, Gregory, Archangel Gabriel has a ceremony that he wants to take you through. And I said, well, how is that going to happen? He says, just close your eyes and the ceremony will begin. So here we go again. This is another one of these. I'm from Missouri, by the way, the Show Me State, which means even though I'm a little skeptical, I don't mind trying things out. So I sat there, closed my eyes, and sure enough, instantly, I was on my knees in my inner vision before this group of archangels. Now, what's interesting is, they didn't even bring me through standing up. Now, I was sitting down. They didn't even bring me through sitting down. They brought me through, and there I was on my knees looking up at them. And Archangel Gabriel had his palms together. He opened them up, and this huge ball of energy came out of him and came directly into my being. Now, you know, I'm saying this to you, and I'm as skeptical of it as you probably are, but I can just tell you that things changed from then. And once that happened, I knew that I had the capacity, at least thought I did, had the capacity to carry out what was expected of me as with the universal healer work. So that having been done, having experienced that then, and had the opportunity then to go over to West Africa and to understand that not only had I been personally been endowed with this capacity, but it was something that could be shared with other people. You know, some of it, there's this little plant that I remember years ago we used to have that, you know, you'd hang it, and the next thing you know, another little plant would come out, then another plant would come out, and you could clip the plant, give it to friends, they could put it in a pot, and then other little plants that come out of that. What is it called? A spider plant? Can't remember. Perhaps one of the callers, I see that several callers will remind me of that. So that's the way this thing seemed to work. And so over the next few years, I was blessed to be in the company of a group of amazing healers who came to this Universal Healer work. Some came because archangels had sent them. Some came to them because their masters had sent them. Some came to them because they had come to seminars or workshops I had done at healing fairs. You know, you'll have these healing fairs. They come to those. And one fellow, I said, why are you doing Universal Healer? I mean, I looked at his list of trainings that he had done, and, I mean, it was like the best of everything. I mean, he had a much greater background in terms of actual healing practices than I did. He says, because when you were doing the work, I saw sense that you light up and the people you were working with in the audience light up as well. He says, I didn't see any energy go from you to them. Said, I'd never seen anything like that before. And my response was, oh, my, because he had seen a lot more than I had. So having done all that, then that's the way the Universal Healer thing started. And these healers, these people were amazing. And the way that program ended as it was constructed. And now that particular program allows you to begin level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4, go up to level, you could become a master Universal Healer, which allowed you to support people all the way through what we're calling today Sourcer Nation, support them to a point of becoming what today we're calling an Ascension Master, and also it allows you to perform God and Source Ascension. And if I have the opportunity, I'll talk a little about that tonight, and certainly we'll talk about it next week as well. It's been my intention, I apologize, to talk about it in each of the previous shows, but I would always go off on a tangent. I guess I'm on a tangent now, but it's a lot of fun to remember all that good stuff. And so many times when I work with these people who are very advanced, they would experience things that I hadn't experienced, because when I was given the responsibility at that point, being called the Grand Master Universal Healer, then it's like it was as if I was on a bullet train. I didn't get a chance to linger at the different levels or stages of experiences. They just took me right to the top of the work, and then my responsibility was to work with and support people as they moved further up and along. Now, one of the other things I want to mention while we're on the show, there are two things I also want to talk about. One, I want to give a big shout-out, although I see she's not on the call right now, but a big shout-out and thanks and hearty words of appreciation to Bela Dozier, who is the executive producer, manager, owner, and general potentate of this particular Blog Talk Greater Good Ministries. GGM is the actual, WGGM is actually the Blog Talk designation for this collection of shows. So she has someone on, believe it or not, every day who's doing a spiritual talk or a higher consciousness talk or a healing and health talk. And her commitment is to support each and all of us with this kind of program. And I just want to give her a humongous thanks, because today, and I'm a fairly new host on her programming, but today what we're going to have as a special feature later on is a good friend of mine, my pastor and evangelist, Patricia Benneman, who is actually our newest host on GGM, and she's going to have a show coming up this Sunday. And I invite her to come on the show. Perhaps we can have a little discussion about what her background is, what her framework is, because she's a part of a religion, of Christianity, about which you know very little. Probably it's called COGIC, which stands for the Church of God in Christ. And I had seen posters and had heard it and even seen a few little snippets of shows on television, programs on television. Didn't really understand what was going on, but have now begun to become, with my tremendous interest in understanding, exploring all religious and spiritual teachings, I've begun to have direct experience with that particular religious, the spiritual organization, group, path, religion, and have been, once I moved past a lot of the differences in the language that they focus on, and notice the experience that is a tremendous part of their work in terms of being directly connected with God, of their own experience, with the Holy Ghost, that I think that Bela Dozier has made a remarkable decision, and certainly a much appreciated decision, to bring this new host into the Greater Good Ministry. So I'll bring her on the show a little bit later on. I'd like to have perhaps a few more people having a chance to hear that. Of course, I just lost my screen, so I better keep talking until my monitor just went to sleep, of all things. So I have to, well, at least it came back. So now, so I was talking then about how the Universal Healer Program came. But now you may ask, well, now how did the Light Giver thing come about? Well, what happened is the Universal Healer Program sort of ran its course and was dormant for about 3 years. And during that time, intuitively, I began to understand that some other program that was faster and even more instant, that instantaneous, I'll say, than the Universal Healer Program was. The Universal Healer Program, if the focus of the work of the Universal Healer was to support folks' movement into what could be called the soul domain, or to experience soul ascension, it would take almost 3 hours of contact time, usually, with all the work that we did with people to bring them to that point. Well, so I was setting up, began to organize and write and develop, recast the Universal Healer workshops and seminars to do that with, do the same thing with people, but do it in a way where it was free and there was no cost involved, and on and on. Then the intuition came, the direction came, and I just about finished writing the program description, and the direction came, put it on the internet. And again, this was this NOAA experience. What? Put it on the internet? Are you kidding me? Do you know how long? No, I'm telling the archangels that. Do you know how long it takes to do this stuff? Put it on the internet. Put it on the internet, how is it going to work? I mean, one does not argue with those beings, but sometimes one does, because the mind has to be fed, right? So sure enough, I stopped it, and then I began. Then I developed, wrote out what would be called a beta site. So we had this beta site, and we had a few of the Master Universal Healers, and I was still in contact. We hadn't organized anything yet, but I said, look, could you check this out? Tell me what you think. And they said, well, yeah, I'm getting, they were muscle testing, energy testing, I'm getting that it ought to happen. And I said, do you really believe it? They said, well, then we decided, well, what we'll do, we'd beta test it. Now, for those of you who don't know what that means, beta test is when you try something out. It's not official. You just try it out. You may have a few people that you want to try it out with. You may have some technicians. So all of us knew people who were very sensitive to energy. For example, Bela Dozier, as you all know, is very sensitive to energy. So I called somebody like B. I said, hey, B, I have this beta website. I want you to take a look at it and tell me what, how you experience it. I didn't tell him what it was supposed to be, what it was supposed to do. Now, between me and the fence post, what it was supposed to do is give people the instant experience that we had given them when we were doing the Universal Healer work. And the name that we'd given, that I was able to give it, I was permitted to give it, was to call it Sourcination. And what that meant was that a person would be instantly clear of the, whatever spiritual blockages they had at the auric level. They would be instantly cleared of whatever blockages they might have at the, to the soul level. And that included, dear friends, God bless America, that included also removal and elimination of karma. Now, that's not enough. What also was supposed to happen, believe it or not, was soul ascension. So in other words, this beta site was set up and energized by the higher being, so once someone clicked onto it, zap, 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 all that stuff would happen. So needless to say, we sort of sat around more or less in our own way with bated breath, waiting to see how people would experience this website. Well, sure enough, people got back and say, what is that website about? I looked at it, and some places, suddenly I was on the ceiling. You know, and other people said, I felt so much lighter and clearer. Things just changed me completely. To which our response was, really? You mean that stuff works? So they said, yeah. And once again, God bless B, because B has a web hosting site, which you may know about. And she says, well, look, let's start putting it up on the site. And so it took about a year and a half to get all the bells and whistles up, the shop pages, the newsletter, you know, the various pages. And, you know, it was great that it took that much time, because we were able to tweak it as we went along, as we had learning experiences. So we have newsletters and all that stuff. So if you, once you sign up for the newsletter, you get six lessons or six light giver messages that I downloaded as dictations from this anonymous group. They don't want to put their names out there, and they probably are all the archangels you ever heard of and some of the ascended masters you've heard of, probably quite a few you don't know about. But anyway, to take these, because you have to take what you read, not based on who wrote it, but based upon whether or not it resonates with you. They don't want the authority of either the written word or the authority of the writer to supersede the authority of your own personal internal awareness and attention. So that's on there, and that's how it came about. So along the way, we decided that we would incorporate, and we did, as a nonprofit. So there's six Ascension Masters, actually Advanced Ascension Masters, which would probably be level infinity if you want to give them levels, who are the board of directors. I'm still the chair, although I'm wanting to phase out my responsibilities. And actually enough, focus on writing the materials, designing and teaching the trainers, the high-level trainers of this work, who will do the webinars, and also for me to work directly. I want to work directly with the Kojic people, because I'm being called and directed to take the endowments that I have and to put it, make it available to them. Well, you all have been patient, listening patiently, and what I'd like to do is take a moment and honor a caller on who's been patiently on the online, caller with the area code of 757, and see if there's some conversation that we want to have, and perhaps he or she can ask some questions, make some comments, because there are about a few other callers. And after caller 757, as a matter of fact, before caller 757, I want you to stay on the line, and let's see. Let me bring Evangelist Benjamin on. So, Evangelist Benjamin, I'm about to turn your mic on. Hello,
yes.
Evangelist, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
And I'm delighted to have you on the call.
Well, it is good to be here on the call. I'm listening at the show, and I'm enjoying what I'm hearing so far. And I'm excited about being on Sunday. And many thanks unto you and unto Miss B. And I won't take up too much of your time, just to...
Well, I just want to ask you a couple of questions while I have you, because I want to pique the interest of the people who are listening and who may even dial in to the archive. I just want to ask you this question. Now, if you were going to distinguish your organization, which is called Church of God in Christ, perhaps from some of the experiences that other people might have had, say, in other groups, and I'm not asking you to find anything wrong with them or to criticize them, but if I wanted to ask you, say, now, what would be the major difference that someone might expect if they came into a Kojic service, say, versus what they might see if they went into something that was a bit more traditional? I'm talking about in terms of activity, music, engagement, involvement, the focus of, the minister, the pastor. Would you be able to comment on that?
Yes, I could comment on that. We operate totally on the Holy Spirit. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, and he is the one, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. We believe that no man can come unto the Father, which is God, except through the blood of Jesus Christ. And our church operates that way. We believe in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit.
Well, would it be safe for me to say that more than believing in it, that you get involved with it, you contact it and you experience it? So it's not just a belief system, it's an involvement. You're involved with it, are you not?
Well, we like to use the word that we believe in. So that of what we believe in, we act in. Whatever we're living, the Spirit of God.
The reason why I'm saying that is because when I came to this, services, this is not where you were. What I noticed was that many of the people, instead of just sitting there patiently in the pews waiting to hear or be informed by the minister as to what the minister thought they should believe, that people were on their feet and really feeling in tune with, I think what you call it, the Holy Ghost, that there was a great outpouring, I'll say, of spirit, which I was, very impressed by.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, the emphasis of the universal healer and the light giver as work, the spiritual work, is on the contact with spirit itself and not depending so much on the ideas, of other people. And so that for me, and so I'm just kind of answering my other question I put to you.
Yeah.
That for me... that for me was very impressive. But see, it's so you accept so much, what it is you've done, because you told me you were raised in Koji, that it may not, it's just a way of life for you. But for those of us who have traveled, many, many other paths, then I found it to be extraordinarily refreshing, to see children and see adults who were caught up in what you call the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, they were caught up in that. Mm-hmm. And that was extraordinarily impressive to me. And I think that kind of enthusiasm, as you share it in your Sunday service, will certainly, I think, find people beginning to get a deeper understanding of the potential that you have, the potential that they may experience in themselves in Kojic. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, and we've had conversations about that, and this is really important, I think, for people to understand. Could you just say a word about anointing? You talked to me a little bit about that yesterday, but I don't think a lot of the listeners have ever heard or understand what that's about, even though, as you point out, that it is, is in the Bible and probably in a number of other religious texts as well. Could you say a word about anointing?
Well, the anointing is something that comes from God, and God gives that to people for ministry, for connection with him, to be able to communicate with him. In the scriptures, we will find where Jesus
excuse me interrupting just one moment. Now, here's what I want to say to listeners. While she's talking, what I want you to notice is the spiritual flow that you begin to pick up. And what that is, that's an example of how this anointing works. So even though you hear the string of her words, don't focus on her words. Focus on how you experience your own spiritual self and enlightenment. So please continue there, Evangelist.
Well, the anointing comes from God, and the word anointed means to smear, to rub down, to rub over, and God has given that to his children. He has given that to us for worship, how to communicate. There are people that when we're in their presence and we begin to speak out of our mouth, they say, "Ooh, I got chills, I got goosebumps, That is the anointing. That is the Spirit of God present. In the book of Psalms, you will see where the scripture notes most people have heard of the 23rd Psalms, whether they are a Christian or a non-Christian, because it's so faithfully quoted, but David is saying, thou anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. And that's what happens with us many times. Because we are anointed, our cup that God has given us runs over. And because it's running over, it can run over and touch your life, or the person on the phone, it can touch their life. That overflow that God has smeared us with, or me, I don't want to just say I'm the only one that have it, because I'm not. So, but us with, it just reaches from heart to heart, from person to person. Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel.
Thank you. And I think I can just attest from my own experience that you just shared a little bit of that anointing energy with us and anyone who is on this call and anyone who reaches in the archive even to hear this call. And I just want to thank you for that. I hope you don't mind my putting you on the spot, but I know you well enough to know that you will rise to the occasion.
Well,
you are truly, truly anointed.
Well, may I just leave this for our listeners so that they won't think that I'm out in left field somewhere. And I would just like to quote this from St. John, the 3rd chapter, and at the 16th verse, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And even if you don't possess the anointing, you still have that right to have everlasting life. Don't be intimidated by saying, well, I've never felt that, or I don't think I have what she's talking about. But you are entitled to receive everlasting life, because God so loved the world. And he did, and he gave his only begotten Son. And you must believe, again, you must believe that he is. Amen?
Well, thank you very much. And on behalf of Greater Good Ministry, I would like to welcome you again as our newest host. And I just want, I'm going to say a few words after you get off the call to help people understand how they can test this for themselves. So it becomes more than simply belief. It becomes direct experience. So thank you for being on the call there, Evangelist Pastor Patricia Benjamin, and we do look forward to your call on Sunday. And for your listeners, I want to say that when I say we look forward to the call, because I've also signed on to be her producer, which means I'll be doing a lot of the board work for her, so she won't have to worry about trying to keep her message going forward at the same time doing what I'm doing right now, which is saying, okay, which button should I push? Who's on next? So that'll be my job. So, Evangelist, I know we'll be talking soon. Thank you for being on the call.
God bless you.
Thank you. Okay, now, 757, I want you to know that I'm going to have you on in exactly 1 minute. I want to give Bee's web hosting and a little airing, and then you'll be up.
Our program is being brought to you by ShotNet Web Hosting, reliable web hosting for everyone. Feature rich, reliable, and affordable. Create your own site in minutes with ShotNet's easy-to-use site designer. Monthly plans available that fit any budget. Visit shot-net.com. That's shot-net.com.
And now I want to also let you hear an ad for Back to Brilliance, which is also one of our new shows. These two people, not only do they have their own program, they also are two of my board members, so you know I want to give them a plug.
The Back to Brilliance Hour is here, and you won't want to miss it. It airs every second and fourth Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central Time. Change is coming. Being ready is essential. When you own your brilliance, you are connected to the life force of the universe. You create what your heart desires. You gain freedom from everything that limits you. This program gives you the keys to the mastery of your life. Join Lynn and Vivian for the Back to Brilliance Hour right here on GGM Radio, the second and fourth Tuesday of the month at 8 p.m. Central.
Hello, caller from area code 757. I want to thank you for your patience for allowing me to rant for such a long period of time and also to welcome our newest host. So, what is your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Gregory. This is Shiv. I'm calling from Virginia as usual.
You're calling from Brazil?
No, Virginia. Virginia.
Oh, Virginia. Okay, yeah. Well, we always have such interesting discussions. There are a couple of other people behind you, but as one of my oldest callers, but one of my oldest listeners and callers. So what's the topic of the day there, Chef?
Okay, I had this idea that all physical illnesses and issues, diseases, cancers, all these problems, they have a specific spiritual root for each one. And I put this in Google a while back, and there was this lady that had an entire website dedicated to this idea. So I wasn't the only one who had this idea. And she had a list of all kinds of diseases, all kinds of health issues, and besides them, she had the spiritual root to each one. For example, for like thyroid problems, for like Hashimoto's disease, it had to do with like issues with your dad, and for Hodgkin's disease, which is something that I had when I was 12, it had to do with like an issue of hatred. So I wanted to get your input on this, and is this true? Because I haven't seen a lot of people like with this belief. I only seen this one website.
Oh, is that the? Is there a question mark there someplace? Sounded like I heard a period.
Yeah.
There's a lot of conversation about that. I mean, there's I can't remember her name now, but there is a particular person who is extremely well known. And if Bea were on the call, she's not. She would be able to tell me who it is. But there are any number of people in different ways who have that belief that and experience that there are that illnesses are a reflection of not only this lifetime's experience but of previous lifetimes.
Right.
But the larger question is, you know, what is it that one does? And I'm really not trying to sidestep it. I've never personally paid that much attention to it. And I think there probably is some language in my book that speaks to that. But the question is, you know, what is it that one does with all of that information? There are also, I'm going to sort of go to another line, another way of looking at it, too. Are you familiar with, is it the Reich machine? I think it is. There are a number of electronic devices which can be attuned to particular frequencies, and thereby are said to neutralize whatever illnesses, you know, are present. Now, this is a slightly different way of looking at it, but it's a way of energetically addressing more directly the residue of illnesses that might be in somebody's physical, emotional, astral, you know, mental or even subconscious. Have you come across that kind of material as well?
I've actually never heard of this. Can you tell me
really,
the name?
Well, I can't tell you the name offhand, although normally it's on my lips because quite often I've talked to people over the years about it. But what I can do is, I know your email address, so what I can do is just dig it out. As a matter of fact, I have one of those machines around here someplace, a smaller version, a less expensive. The ones that apparently this technology is readily used in Europe, but it's illegal here, you know, under the influence of the FDA, because there are people who claim that they have had cancers completely neutralized. The theory of it is, which began somewhere back in the 20s, is that every illness Every parasite, matter of fact, every being has a particular frequency at which, you know, they resonate, you know, bacteria, viruses, and so forth. So this technology is constructed to develop call it the neutralizing frequency. And people who use them, use this technology then, simply tune in that particular frequency, and shortly thereafter, the bacteria is neutralized. As a matter of fact, one of the people who started, along the way began to popularize a great understanding is a woman named Hulda Clark, H-U-L-D-A, Hulda, not Hilda, but Hulda Clark, C-L-A-R-K. And she had a lot of very interesting things that she found out about parasites. And for a long time, popularized the idea of using different herbs like cloves and wormwood, and I think there was one other, to kill parasites in a particular sequence. You had to take them like, you know, two or three times a day. And then later on, she came up with something called the Hulda Clark Zapper. Now, that will start you, if you Google that, that will start you down a track to find, oh, it's Rife, R-I-F-E, is the technology I was talking about, capital R-I-F-E. This is a fellow who developed the technology in the 30s and had great success in clearing people of cancer. All of his equipment, he was raided by the government. This is well documented. All of his equipment confiscated. And there are some who say that he himself was eliminated by someone because his technology essentially would have put the entire medical business, you know, just put them out of business. Medical profession would have essentially been ended as it relates to dealing with people with cancer, tuberculosis, and other kinds of diseases. So in a sense, that same approach, without being specific about the source, has been in use. So rather than saying, you know, the reason why this person has Hashimoto's disease is because they had a problem with so-and-so. And the second question is, okay, so you had a problem with your dad. Let's say your dad is deceased. What is all the stuff you have to do, not you but somebody else, what is all the stuff that has to be done to get that out of your system? Well, there are some then would say, well, you'd see a psychiatrist, you'd see a psychologist, you know, you'd sit down and love yourself, hug your wife, hug your kids, and maybe it would get neutralized. Well, with the Rife technology, you just zap that sucker, man, it's gone. So it's out there. So, yeah, but there's a lot about that. One of the things that, because there is an approach toward healing, which is why I'm so fascinated with Kojic, there's approach toward religion. To some extent, there are aspects of that there that essentially says that you are in an aspect of healing. It's a curriculum approach. It is a strictly educational approach. And education, the way it operates is to say that life is layered, that when you move through one, if you move through one layer successfully, you know, let's call it kindergarten, you can get to the next layer, which is the first grade. And then if you get through that, so it assumes then that knowledge and healing and even spirituality is a sequential behavior. You see what I'm saying? That, you know, like say if you say, you know, say you're in the university now without naming the university. So you go to the university, you sit down, you talk to admissions counselor, you say, look, I want to graduate with a major in electrical engineering. And they say, well, okay, let's look at the catalog, right? So you look at the catalog, you look at the courses, and you say, what about this course? And, well, these are the courses you need to take, and then you'll have 320 credits, and then you get to graduate. Well, a lot of people look at life that way. You know, and a lot of people look at spirituality that way. Say, well, if you do this, if you do this, and you do this, then God will accept you into God's heart. Well, if God is everlasting, eternal, and infinite, then God does not have a layered approach to life. God's approach is that. And it would be wonderful if education was like that, but it's not. And the same thing about healing is that there is a substantial history of there being individual vested, and that's what the Universal Healer book claims, because I'm not at that point yet, but I've seen it and experienced it a bit with some of these Kojic ministers where God performs the zap. You know how you look at some of those television shows and you'll see a evangelist, maybe you know, maybe one, like, and I've seen her do this, like Patricia Bennett was just on. You know, people touch a person on the head and they fall down, and you
yeah.
say, oh, yeah, I wonder how much they pay them to do that. Well, let me tell you, I had the experience that with Evangelist Benjamin when she was there, and a guy touched, put his hand on my head. Because, see, I have to experience this stuff, man. I just don't want to look at it. So I went on up there. He put his hand on my head, and then later on, left with him, but with another person, she put her hand on my head, and I was gone. I mean, I was out. People caught me as I fell to the floor. You know, and my friend, the evangelist, said that I was cracking up because I told God, knock him out. So, at any rate, I found it was a direct experience. Now, the other thing, tell you what, I want to keep you on the call. Let me get a couple of these other people on. They've been waiting patiently, and I'll share some of the stuff I want to say to you with them.
Okay,
so,
sure.
Is that okay? Thanks a lot.
Yeah, sure.
Hello, caller from the area code 615. I want to thank you for being so patient and allowing me to rant and rave for all the time that I have. Welcome to the call. Let's talk. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Oh, hi, Gregory. This is Audrey in Dallas, Texas.
Hey, Audrey. You can see I'm still a raving maniac, huh?
No, it's great. I'm so glad I didn't miss your show tonight. I'm really enjoying listening. I'm enjoying you. I really loved Patricia's energy, too, the evangelist. She has beautiful.
Beautiful. The energy. Her energy is, I mean, when I chat with her, I feel this flow. It's like, you know, it's as if somebody opens up a hose, and then there's just all of this good energy coming down. And there are a lot of folks who I can't, there's like this wall of energy that's around me. You may have seen it and picked it up, and it just doesn't absorb or notice other folks' energies, and I'm not being indifferent to them. It's just, you know, it's like I'm a light bulb, and my job is to generate it. And so for have someone whose attunement is so great that I can feel that flow, it's just really special. Sometimes I talk on the phone. I say, look, just read me the telephone book, please. So now, one of the things I want to say, and this is an interesting transition, you know, like I said, you know, earlier, is that I really am from Missouri, born in Kansas City, raised in St. Louis. And, you know, when you go to Missouri, you look at all these license plates, and the license plates say the Show Me State, which is basically my nature, you know, which is to, I'm not exactly a skeptic, but I'm always testing things. So when I heard about Kojic, I went to the church. Now, one thing I want to say to people to test them. Now, all of us, we all know about mantras, you know, which are words which have particular power, words which have a transformative effect, words which allow, when said, no matter what the religious tradition, allow one to link with the source of that particular mantra. So I noticed that a lot of people in this church, without me necessarily, you know, going and being baptized again, I was baptized when I was 7 by my father, who was a Baptist minister. You know, they said, well, if you want to feel blessed, say, thank you, Jesus. And so I said, well, okay, you know, if I can say, experiment with Hare Krishna, experiment with the hue, which is used in Ekankar, how come am I so biased that I can't say, thank you, Jesus? You know, without necessarily feeling, you know, having read the Bible and spent all that time and becoming holy in that tradition, I said, well, let me experiment with that. And honestly, without regard to background, with a little bias, if one says over and over again, thank you, Jesus, that mantra opens up. So then I investigate a little bit, and what happened is the energetics that were set in motion 10,000 years ago are still active in this culture. It's kind of like, you know that movie, there's a television show that in which they have these little windows, not windows, these, they're like little pyramids. I can't remember the show, but there's one, like, they are scattered throughout the universe, and you can get in them, and they take you to different planets. I can't remember. If I said the name of the television show, you would say,
Star Trek?
Yeah, I watched it. Something like that. Yeah, well, a little bit of that in Star Trek.
Twilight.
But
Twilight Zone?
You're getting there. No, it's more recent than that, but it's space travel, and there are these beings from other planets. Yeah, but you see, it is stone science fiction, no doubt about it.
Oh,
but the point
the Final
is,
Frontier thing. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, something like that. But it's like these units of consciousness are there. They're buried within the culture. And if a person simply opens their heart and ignores the cultural biases that, you know, that the rational way of thinking has imposed a scientific approach has caused us to kind of put down and ignore the more traditional fundamental religion. But if you just go through your day, remember I taught you that blessing technique? You just go through the day and just experiment.
I still do.
Experiment with the concept of recognizing that this being came into this universe with the idea of transforming the spiritual approach to how people were living their lives, even though it's with a small little culture group of, you know, Jewish people down in, you know, wherever they were in the Middle East, but came through, and somehow that has sustained itself for 2,000 years. I mean, we don't even barely know, you know, what color George Washington's shoes were, and this thing has sustained itself for 2,000 years. What a powerful mantra. So that's something else perhaps you might experiment. You know, I am so sorry. I should have made this show 90 minutes. I only made it 60 minutes, so I see I'm almost out of time, and I've got a couple of people on the call I haven't even talked to. So look, I hope I talk to you next week. Let me get a couple of other voices on.
Sure.
Okay.
Love
Thanks
people.
For calling in here.
Thank you.
Let's see, your prefix is, what are you, 615? Is that you?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, dear. Hello, I'm seeing on my screen here caller 111. I don't know what or who that is or where that is, but at any rate, what is your name and where are you calling from? Hello? Well, I guess nobody's there. Well, I see my GGM mother has finally got on the line. Let me give her a shout out. Hello, GGM Mama. How you doing? Everybody, this is Bela Dozier, who I gave a big shout-out and a warm appreciation, and thanks for allowing new hosts like me and Evangelist Patricia to be on the show. You missed Evangelist Patricia.
I'm so sorry I missed her.
Well, that's okay. That's right. You know how
to get
the archives.
And I'm listening to you, and I just absolutely love your voice. I just love it, and I love hearing you speak. And I'm going to have to rewind and listen to the show from the beginning.
Oh, yeah, we had a good time this time. I just raved and ran 30 minutes and then brought Patricia on and then spent my time then explaining to people. You heard that part about some of the work that they do, one about being focused on direct experience with Holy Spirit. In Eckankar, they call it Holy Spirit the Eck. And then there are many other names for it. In the Jewish tradition, it's called Ruah. But in that tradition, it's called the Holy Ghost. And,
right.
Direct experience. Well, my dear, it looks like we have come to the end of the party. And I am so glad you called in. You know, I love getting you on the show. And
I just love
thank
you, dear.
Thank you. I just want to thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for allowing us to have this experience. It is so much good fun. In fact,
it's marvelous to hear you speak the way you do on such a wide variety of subjects. And I'm so proud to have you on GGM Radio. You're truly a blessed addition. So thank you.
Well, it's an honor. So let's go out with music if we can. Last week I couldn't get it going, so let's see what happens this week.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, we got it. Crazy in the grass with Drew Masekela. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. Are you still there, Patricia?
Yes.
How you doing, girl?
I'm good.
Great. Thank you for being on the show today. Have a good time? By the way, this show is no longer being broadcast.
Are you sure?
Well, it's hard to say. Let's see.
I'll be back.
Okay, good.
All right. Bye.